Take your Bibles now, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. We're going to look at the giving of Abraham. Abraham's giving and how he did it. We are emphasizing stewardship throughout the month of January. January is about gone. And we want to look again at what the Bible says about stewardship. Those that may be here that are not saved or just guests that have never trusted the Lord, I know sometimes when people go to church and a preacher preaches about giving, they think that they're just after their money. So let's just clear the air right quick and say that we're not after your money. We don't want you to feel that way. God has some principles in His Word that are true principles. And the preachers are supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen? Amen. That includes what we do with our giving. And so I would be remiss in my responsibility if I didn't do that. But I've got good news to you. If you're here without Christ, we have a gift for you. And God has a gift for you. And you don't earn it. You don't have to pay for it. It's been paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you see this story of Abraham offering Isaac, may it remind you of God offering and giving His only Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross of Calvary so that you could be saved. Now, beginning with verse 1, Genesis 22, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham," or test him. He didn't tempt him to do wrong, but He tested him, "and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now, this is a true story, folks. I mean, this is really something that happened. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning," which proves he wasn't a Baptist, right? "And saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad," now watch this, watch the wording of it, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and I and the lad," implied here, "I and the lad will come again to you," both of us. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together." Can you see that picture of the father walking up that mountain with his son with a knife in his hand, getting ready to do what God said do? Just try to picture that in your mind a minute. "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My son," he said, "Here am I, and my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Where's the lamb? Good question, isn't it? "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide," watch how I say this, "God will provide Himself." God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, put the wood down there, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Bound him and put him on the altar with the wood. I think his son knew what that was about. Fixing to be barbecue. He knew that. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." And I mean, he was doing what God told him to do, obeying the Lord. I hope you are seeing already the faith in this. Keep looking at it. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now, since you obeyed me all the way and you were willing to do what I told you to do, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. My, what a magnificent and beautiful, true story of a man and his son going up on the mountain, the man willing to do what God told him to do, to kill his son, if that's what God said, by faith, and yet having enough faith to know they'd both come back down together. That's a lot of faith. And it's a beautiful story of him waiting on the promise of God, believing what God said. God had, through Abraham, said, I'm going to bless the whole world, all the nations of the world, and the Messiah, the seed, is going to come through you. The Savior is going to come through you, your seed. And so here is the one child that he has through whom the Messiah was to come. And God said, I want you to kill him. That's a real story, folks. And God meant what he said. And Abraham believed what God said. And he had waited for 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. And Abraham was probably about 100 years of age right then. And yet he still believed what God said, and God gave him a child. Isaac may have been, nobody knows for sure, but may have been around 25 years of age when this took place. This is one of the greatest stories of giving you'll ever find in the Word of God. A great story of giving. Now, let's get into the stewardship aspect of it. There are all kinds and different kinds of givers that attend churches. There are different kinds of givers that are members of our churches. Some of them are tippers. They're the ones who once in a while put a dollar in the offering plate and feel like they've really done a great favor for God. By the way, if you're a Christian and you leave a tip in a tract, please leave at least 15%. 15 to 18 is the standard now. Don't be a cheapskate and let them think you're a stingy Christian. Leave at least that if you're going to leave a track with it. But some people are tippers. They'll put a dollar in every once in a while. Now, if you're a widow lady and that's what you do and that's the proportion of your giving, God looks at that as being equal to that of $100 if that's a proportion of another man's giving. But I'm talking about those who have the means and they just drop a dollar in every once in a while and they really think they've done God a favor. Then you have the entertainment givers. They only come when they attend. They don't send it in. We have people that mail money in every week to our church. If they're going to be gone on vacation or somewhere else out of town, they'll either double up the Sunday before or the Sunday after, or they'll mail it in. But there's some people that do like, they treat the church like Bass Hall. If I'm not going to go down there and have a full symphony, I'm not paying the bill. I'm not going to do it. I didn't attend, so I don't pay for it. That's a wrong attitude. That's entertainment giving. Then you have the emotional giver. If you talk about the need in Haiti, and there is a need, and they really get carried away with that, or somebody's house burns down, and we make a plea, and they'll say, well, I'll give to that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'd rather they give to that, not give at all. But what I'm saying is it should be a regular, consistent thing, and not just when there's some emotional thing that touches our heart. That's a poor kind of giving, though it is one kind of giving. There's the legalist who gives. Boy, if I don't give, God's going to break my back, or God's going to make me have a flat tire on the way home, or something's going to happen. I'm not going to get a raise if I don't give. They have this legalistic idea. And then there are the impulse givers who, if they see a project they like, they say, well, I'll give to that. I'm not giving to anything else, but I sort of like that idea, so I'll give to that. And so they'll give as impulse givers. But then there are those that I'd call Bible givers. They're the ones that give according to this book. I believe that's the best way to give. This is the book. This is the instruction book. This is the, not the blueprint, but the black print that tells us how we are to give. So I like biblical giving. Doesn't that make sense? That Bible giving is the best kind of giving? Biblical giving is the best kind. Then there are those who have different motives in giving. Some give simply in hope for return. Man, if I give, if I put the seed in there, I put one seed in, I'm going to get 10. I put $10 in, I'm going to get 100. I put 100 in, God's going to give me 1,000. And so their motive is hope of return. Others, their motive is obligation. If I don't give, what's my wife going to think, or my husband? Or what are they going to think? I'm a Sunday school teacher and I don't give. Or I'm a choir member and I don't give. Or I'm a deacon and I don't give. They give out of obligation sometimes, or fear of judgment. Some give because of the praise of man. All throughout my ministry, I've seen and observed some. You say you're judging. I think that I have some intuition and some discernment that God has given and given pastors. But I've seen people who didn't tithe and didn't give regularly, who if there was an evangelist in town or something, they'd walk up to him, stick a couple of $100 in his pocket and say, go buy you a suit, or they'd tell him to meet him somewhere and do that. And a lot of times they'd stand in a public meeting and give to a project a large sum of money perhaps, but never consistently serving or giving. And I think that's a bit hypocritical. For the praise of men, God says, be careful about that. Ananias and Sapphira lied about that, and they were giving it for the praise, and God killed both of them. I don't want to shake you up or anything, but just think about it a little bit. But the motivation ought to be love, amen? I love God, and I want to give to God. I have no problem giving to somebody that I love. Now, very quickly, let's look at the giving of Abraham. Abraham recognized something, and that was the ownership of God. He understood God owned everything. Well, what if he said, wait a minute now, God, that's my son. That's not your son, that's my son. Let me tell you today, your children are heritage from the Lord, and they belong to him. They are your children. They're yours to have the responsibility and stewardship over, but they actually belong to God. Abraham recognized ownership of God, and that is the foundational starting place where we understand, hey, I don't really own anything. God owns everything. How many of you believe God owns it all? Say amen. Amen. He does. And the Bible declares that. And God let Abraham know, and Abraham realized it, that Isaac was owned by God. God gave Isaac late in their lives, but they could have been overprotective for that child later on in their lives like that. But Abraham knew God owned Isaac. And I'm telling you, that's the foundational truth. If you don't get that, you're going to miss the rest of it. You can't build on anything until you get this right. God owns everything. It all belongs to God. And that will give you a proper attitude about your life and about all of your possessions. If you understand that Almighty God owns everything. Then we notice something else about Abraham. He never questioned God. None of those verses did you see him questioning God. God said, I want you to take your son, take him to the mountain, and I want you to take his life. You don't see Abraham arguing about it. He had that foundational truth right. And he never questioned God, never asked God anything about it. In that sense. And that is the condition of giving that God gives us, or the conditions. Those are the things God puts in His Word, and we have no right to question God when He sets up the standards and the conditions and how we should give. We should not question God. Verses 2 and 3, here's the standards. God said in Genesis 22, He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. God knew how much he loved him. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son cut the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went unto the place of which God had told him. He was obedient to everything God told him to do. Why? Why, Abraham? I trust God. Amen. You know, there are a lot of Christians that don't trust God. Amen. There are a lot of Christians that don't trust God. Amen. If they did, they'd get this matter right in their lives. And so Abraham did not question God. He believed him to do. I'm amazed sometimes at how many people try to circumvent and go around and circle what God has said to do to come up with some kind of rationale or reasoning to ease their conscience about this matter of what God has said to do in giving. Another thing we notice about Abraham, that God asked Abraham to give not for God's sake, but for Abraham's sake. He didn't ask him to give for God's sake, but for Abraham's sake. Let me tell you something today. God is wealthy enough without your tithes and offerings. God does not need your silver or gold for himself. Now, he's given us the standard of what to do, but he does not need it for himself. Now, he gives us the privilege of giving because we need it, and because it helps us, and because it keeps our perspective right and our spiritual attitude right, all of that, because God knows what we need. But God's wealthy enough. God doesn't have to have your money. The church doesn't have to have the money of unbelievers if believers are doing what's right. We have a God that can supply our needs. But the purpose of God doing what he did with Abraham was, one, to give us an illustration of how to be saved, one of the greatest in the Bible, and secondly, he did it to mature Abraham, so that Abraham would mature in his faith. He wanted Abraham's faith to increase. I have an idea his faith did increase after that episode. Don't you think it did? After he was doing exactly what God told him, and he raised that knife, and he was ready to come down, and the angel of the Lord said, stop. I have an idea after that kind of test of faith that everything else in the matter of faith after that came easier, and he could trust the Lord. And so that's what we need to learn as believers. We believe what God says. God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. Well, whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Amen? Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's settled because it's God's holy word. And so we believe what God says and we act accordingly by faith. And God is not one who needed that, but Abraham needed it so his faith would increase. If you learn faith giving, your faith will increase. It'll help you in every other area of your life. It'll help you in all the future of your life. It'll help you handle every situation that comes down the pike in your life. And then Abraham never regretted what he gave to God. He didn't regret what he did. You see him go away, you don't see him saying, boy, I'm sorry I did that. I think he went away shouting maybe and said, man, what an experience. Whew, that tested my faith, my soul. I didn't know if I could do it or not, but God said, do it. He told me to do it, and I did it. Hallelujah, look what God did. He stopped and said, look at there, there's a ram in the thicket. You don't have to give your son. I have provided. Jehovah Jireh, God provides. And God always does that. By the way, the only thing you can ever keep is what you give to God. All the rest you're going to leave down here. You just think of all those things you got today, all of them. Think about what you got, your bank account and everything else. What if you, my wife says, don't use that term, what if you kicked the bucket today? They're going to go through your stuff and you're not going to be there and say, well, don't touch that. Well, you're not doing that right. Watch out. That's my boat. Well, you're not going to say a thing about it. Now, I'm not against having those things. I'm just saying the only thing you can really keep is what you give to God. And that's why the Bible admonishes us as God tells us what we're supposed to do. Turn to Matthew just a second, if you will. Matthew 6. Most of us are familiar with this passage of Scripture, but let's go back and look at it just a second. Matthew 6, and drop down to verse 19, and here's the instruction of the Lord. By the way, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it is in red letters, isn't it? It's not Brother Weaver just speaking, it's the Lord speaking. And what does he say? He says only invest in something that's not going to be endangered. Only invest in something that you're going to be able to keep. And you'll never lose what you give to God. And so he gives us the admonition, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Did we hear that? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. In other words, let that not be the focus. Where moth and rust doth corrupt. Every once in a while I look at in some of these wrecking yards at cars that I used to lust and wish I could have. And I say, look at that old piece of junk, that old Ford or whatever, that old convertible. I can remember when I used to think, man, I'd give my left arm for one of those when I was a kid. And they're just rust buckets now, sitting somewhere out on a farm or behind a barn or in the barn, somewhere like that. The Lord says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, amen, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure today? Where's your heart today? Where your heart is, your treasure will be. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. Lay up treasures where? Not down here, but up there. Up there in heaven. How do you do that? By doing what God says. Investing in his work. Giving by faith. Giving the tithes and offerings and faith giving through the local New Testament church to God's work. Lay up treasures in heaven where these things cannot bother them. Then Abraham's giving is really, I would have to say here, far above the tithe. And here's what I mean. The tithe is usually something you figure mathematically. You make $100 a week, that's $10. You make $1,000 a week, that's $100. You make $10,000 a week, that's $5,000. No, no. But anyway, if you... It's a matter of math, 10% of the gross income. Oh, I know some of you Baptists thought it's what's left over. It's the net. No, it's the gross. It's the gross income. And you figure that, 10%. Well, that's a mathematical formula. And you already owe God that. It's not yours. God says give it. And that's backed up in the Old Testament. It's backed up in the New Testament. It is there. These things ought you to have done, Jesus said. So, I think this was faith giving. Don't you think so? I think all of us believe that it took a lot of faith for Abraham to give his son. That's what he was willing to do. Faith giving. So he believed in the tithe. I'm convinced that he believed that. Hebrews 7, let me turn there and just read a couple of verses for us to back up what I'm saying, because I know it's important that the Word of God verify what is being said by a pastor. In Hebrews 7, 1-4, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of the city of peace, Melchizedek could be a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, certainly a definite type of Christ. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Who was that? Abraham. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, notice who this Melchizedek was. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. But made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continued. Sounds to me so like Jesus, doesn't it you? Now, consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch, the great, no greater than the patriarch Abraham for the Jews, gave the tenth of the spoils. The lesser always gives to the greater. The lesser was Abraham here, and the greater was Melchizedek, and he gave a tithe unto what we believe perhaps was the Lord Jesus Christ in this situation. So he believes in the tithe. But this gift was by faith, not just the tithe. How much do we give by faith? Well, how much did Abraham give by faith? You know, most of our giving we can figure out before we ever write it down how we can work it out. I tell you, that's 90% of our way of giving it. I think I can do that. Yeah, I believe I can handle that. Yeah, I believe I can squeeze here and squeeze there and do that. That, my friend, is not faith giving. We're having a very holy service here today. Very solemn, very reverent service. You're thinking about it. I know you're thinking about it. You think I'm trying to do something to you instead of for you. I'm trying to do something for you. Faith is not what you see or figure out. Is it? Faith is doing what God says and giving by faith that you don't see how you can do it. You don't see how it's going to happen. But you're going to give it anyway. You're going to say, that's what God dealt with me about. That's what God showed me. And I'm going to give by faith. And I believe God's going to honor my faith. And God always honors faith. And by the way, does not the Bible say without faith it is impossible to please God? And I know you say, well, that means getting saved. Well, it means more than getting saved. It means every area of our life. What are you doing today by faith? Something you can't see, figure out, put down on paper, work out, figure you can handle it, figure you can do it, whatever. I mean, not just in money, but in other areas. What am I doing by faith today? Now, here's a case where God promised to Abraham that the Messiah was going to come through the lineage of Isaac, the promised seed. Look at Genesis 18:19 very quickly. If you'll turn back there, Genesis 18:19. We're about to wrap this up. Genesis 18:19. Here's the promise. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. What was that promise? The promise was that he was going to bless the world through Abraham's seed. God said, through your seed, I'm going to bless the whole world. Your seed, get out here, Abraham, look at the stars. It's going to be like the stars. How's that? It's going to be through a promised seed. And here God says, I want you to take that one child, that one promised seed that you have, and I want you to kill him. Well, he could argue, say, well, wait a minute, God, you said that the Messiah was going to come through the promised seed. If I do this, then we're not going to have a Messiah, and I'm going to die in my sins and all of that. He could have argued that, but God said, no, you do what I tell you to do. Yes, it is the promised seed. Yes, he is the promised seed, but I will take care of it. Just do what I say to do, and that will be right. And so he was commanded to offer the sacrifice. God told him to do that. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Do it, Abraham, do it. Boy, that would be tough. Abraham believed God. How do we know he believed God? Well, Hebrews again gives us some insight. Chapter 11. This is a great faith chapter, by the way. Chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Listen to what God says as he's talking about this honor roll of those who had faith. When he says in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And here's why he had faith. Listen to this verse. Accounting that God was able. Do you believe God's able today to honor your faith? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Even if he did kill him, God could raise him up. He believed that. From whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham said, God said it, and that's all I need. I have to step out by faith. I'm sure he had some emotions, and I'm sure he didn't understand it, but God had a purpose, and one of those purposes is why I'm preaching it today. God wants us to learn to live by faith, not by sight, not by figuring, not by math, by giving the way we ought to give. God has never asked any of us to give our son or child. Well, I know that some people's children have died, but God didn't walk up to him and say, I want you to give your child. God has not asked us to do that. But God does ask us to honor him with our treasure, doesn't he? Amen? God does ask us to honor him with our children. That's a stewardship. We're to honor him with our children. And God does ask us to honor him with all of our life. Romans 12, 1. God says that he beseeches us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. God says, I want it all. You owe me everything. I'm God. And then the beautiful part of this story is that it's a picture of salvation. And here was Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is a type of you and me. We deserve to die. We deserve to have the wrath of God poured out upon us. But God in his mercy stopped the judgment. And he said, wait a minute, I've got a ram in the thicket. And we look and we say, yeah, there's a lamb in the thicket. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took Isaac off. I have an idea Isaac was real glad about that. And then he said, let's put that lamb, that ram, right here, and we'll offer it as a sacrifice. That's Jesus, folks, who died for all of your sins, and you can be saved today. Let's stand, please. My challenge to you today is very simple. Number one, as a believer, I want you to step out of the boat and give by faith. Start giving by faith and serving by faith. That is my direct biblical challenge to you today, is don't just give your tithe and don't just give what you can figure out, but learn to give by faith. And I tell you, you'll have an experience with God, maybe not exactly like Abraham did, but God wants to bless you and help you. Would you take his word as a challenge? That's what needs to be done. And then if you're here without Christ, there's the story. God has provided a lamb for you. Come today and receive him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful story in Genesis 22. And for what it means to us today. Faith giving, not sight giving, not figuring it out giving, not just knowing mathematically how we can do it, but giving by faith so that souls will be saved. We know the outcome of it is always good. We lay up treasures in heaven where nothing can bother it, and it'll be there waiting on us somehow in eternity. Save souls, people who are reached, like the 34 people who were saved the other night because somebody cared enough to give to missions. Still being saved thousands and thousands over the years because somebody's laying up treasures in heaven. And I believe someday when we get there, we'll have people walk up to us, God, and say, I'm here because you learned faith giving. Help us to give so that by faith, so that we can have more missionaries and supply their needs so they can give the gospel around the world and lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. In Jesus' name, help your people to get this right today. Amen.